The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Why are we all here this morning? Why did we all wake up early? For some of us, forego the coffee. And come here together this morning to worship. Why did we do that? For many of us, the answer is because we believe. We understand what Jesus wants to give us, and we believe, so we come here. Some of us may only just have the desire to believe. They're not sure what they believe, but they have a desire to believe, and so you're here to try and understand. Maybe some of you are just curious. You're not sure what this is all about, but you're willing to give it a shot. You're willing to come here to try and understand. If you're in those latter categories, then perhaps the second reading really jumped out to you. And in case you missed it, I'll read it again. It's from St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. And at the beginning, he makes a really bold claim. A really bold claim. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed for us." I consider that our sufferings here are as nothing compared to the glory that God wants to reveal to us in heaven. That is quite a claim. You might think to yourself, hello, Earth to St. Paul, have you seen the suffering that's going on in this world? Have you seen what's happening? Have you seen all the suffering? How can that possibly be? And St. Paul would then turn to you and say, "Child, please." He gets it. He understands suffering. He knows. He says, "Well, I've been scourged 5 times, which is 39 lashes each. I've been beaten 3 times with rods. I've been stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, 24 hours adrift at sea. I've been in dangers from rivers, robbers, Jews, Gentiles, city, wilderness, sea, false brothers, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, cold, and exposure." And if you think I just made that list up, it's from 2 Corinthians. He wrote it himself. So he knows suffering. He's experienced it. He knows it. He gets it. And yet he still has the guts to make that claim. That all the suffering he's gone through, all the suffering that exists in the world, is as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed in us in heaven. Who else does this? Who else can make this claim? You know, Billy Mays was on TV for a long time, God rest his soul, but in any of his infomercials, did he once ever claim this kind of glory for us in eternal life? If you go to any library, any bookstore, there's a lot of bookstores here, I've noticed. I like that about Ann Arbor. If you go to any bookstore here, the self-help section is usually pretty large. Is there a single book in that self-help section that promises what St. Paul just promised here, what Jesus promises? Many of us pour our lives into our careers. And is there a single career out there that promises what St. Paul promises, that even comes close to the claims that Jesus claims is available for us? Of course not. Of course not. None of that can do that. No one can promise what Jesus promises, and nothing does. That promise to bring us home to heaven. Promise of eternal glory with God, eternal happiness. Nothing else promises that. Nothing else in the world even comes close. So practically, what does this mean for us? What do we do? How do we attain heaven? It's what we want now, right? It's the only thing in the world that claims it. What do we do to get it? And there are many ways. I think the easiest and simplest way is through discipleship. Discipleship. Sitting at the feet of the Master, Jesus Christ himself, learning from him and learning to imitate him, be more like him. And this happens in a variety of ways. First way is to pull out the scriptures and read it regularly, every single day. Some of us may have to dust it off first, but read it every single day. You might have to read it with a commentary to kind of understand what's happening in certain places. That's okay. Just read it. Second thing is we actually have to spend time at the feet of the Master. We have to spend time in prayer, talking to the Lord about the scriptures, talking to him about our lives, and then listening to what the Master has to say. In a discipleship relationship, we do a whole lot more listening than we do talking. And the nice thing about those first two things I just said is that they often go together, right? We can read the scriptures and then we can pray about them. It's an easy way to do it. Combine the two. Another essential way is through the sacraments, going to the sacrament of confession, coming here every single Sunday, not missing any Sundays.
You know, God offers us the banquet of eternal life right here on the altar. He offers us eternal life and salvation. And what do you think that says to him when we tell him, no, I'm too busy this Sunday. No, sorry, I'm driving up north this Sunday, and I can't make it to Mass. Sorry? I'm offering you eternal life. I'm offering you way more than Billy Mays ever offered you. And you're going to go up north this weekend? I'm sorry. Going to Mass every Sunday, it's so essential. Have to do it. And that also means showing up on time. You know, being here as the Mass begins and staying until the Mass ends. Staying for the whole banquet of life, right here. Discipleship, that's what it's all about. Sitting at the feet of the Master, learning from him, and becoming more like him, imitating him. And of course, imitating him in the Eucharist, as we receive him in our own bodies. If you're looking for something real and fulfilling, if you've noticed that everything else in the world kind of leaves you a little empty, doesn't really do what it promises, well, look no further. If you're looking for something real, this is it, Jesus Christ. And there's nothing worth chasing more than Jesus Christ.